As we turn to Acts chapter 13, we're looking at this topic of you will be my witnesses, how God uses ordinary people to share the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus Christ. When we consider serving in mission, that's the theme of what we're looking at this morning here from Acts chapter 13, we can think about how often we have people being sent out into the mission field, being sent abroad. And it's very interesting that when you speak to people from other nations, they consider UK to be a mission field. And more missionaries are coming into the UK than there are actually leaving this shores. And it's very interesting the way that we see ourselves, but others perceive how UK has degraded spiritually and that we need people to come in to share the gospel and plant churches. And that's all welcome. It's really good. But serving a mission is something that we should all embrace. And I want to put to you that that is what Acts chapter 13 is all about. That we're actually to serve together as we reveal that God is expanding his gospel work through the nations. He is fulfilling that promise or that command that Jesus gave. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And that's what we begin to see here. Now, just some context, if you're thinking about the first 12 chapters, we see that the Holy Spirit came at the Pentecost and people were enlivened and filled with the Holy Spirit. It gave Peter the boldness to stand up and declare the gospel message that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he was raised from the dead, he rose from corruption, that he is now ascended into heaven and he seeks that all people trust in him. And people responded. A church was planted in Jerusalem. And people from all nations had come together and become part of that church. But then the church faced persecution. And they scattered. And then Saul of Tarsus arose. He was a devout religious man. And he wanted to wipe out Christianity. He did not like Christians, men, women, and children. And so he decided to persecute the church. He decided to go house to house, town by town, village by village, and work his way round, arresting anybody who professed to be a Christian and put them in prison. That was Saul of Tarsus. But God had other ideas. And on the road to Damascus in Syria, where he went to seek out another church, God spoke to him and said to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul wasn't just persecuting the churches and Christians, he was persecuting Jesus Christ. And Saul was converted. And then we find that 10 years elapse. And in chapter 12, we see that Peter is commissioned to go out and to preach the gospel to non-Jews. Gentiles, people like you and me. We're not born Jewish, we are Gentiles. And as Peter goes out, he sees the grace of God going before him and realizes that all peoples can come to faith in Christ. No matter who you are, your background, your parentage, or your heritage, you can come to faith in Christ. And then we see more opposition from King Herod, who decides to stamp his authority and says, "I'm going to wipe out churches," just like Saul of Tarsus was doing. But he eventually is judged by God. And God requires of him an answer for all that he's done. But in verse 24 of chapter 12, we see, "But the word of the God increased and multiplied." No matter how much the world throws at the church and tries to stop the message, God's word increases and multiplies. But however, during this process, many Christians had to flee. And we read about how Christians fled as far away as Phoenicia in North Africa, Cyprus and Antioch. Cyprus and Antioch are mentioned in our reading in chapter 13. And that plays a big part. So Christians had to flee as refugees. And they had to go back either to their homeland or back to their family areas to escape the persecution that was happening in Jerusalem and Samaria. And as we look at chapter 13, I want to look at this theme of serving in mission. Now, I've got 4 points. Now, don't worry, They're not four long points. We're not going to be here for a very long time, but we're going to be looking at four points that look about serving and what serving looks like. First of all, we're going to look at serving in the church. Did you know that your church is a mission field? Have you thought about that? Then we'll be looking at serving in mission at home, that your home life is a mission field. Then we'll be looking at serving in mission in new areas, where God might be sending you out to new areas. Maybe you just moved house. Maybe you are thinking of moving house. Maybe that new area that you're going to move to is a mission field. And then we're going to look about serving during opposition. What happens when you face opposition and trials? Has it been a failure? Do you feel like you're a failure because no one listens to you? That when you talk about God and about God's word, that no one seems to listen. Is that a failure? We're going to touch on that. And then when we land, we're going to land about how God is at work despite opposition. So that's the direction of travel. So the first thing we're going to look at is serving in the church. And we see this in Acts chapter 12, verse 24 to Acts 13, verse 3. Paul and Barnabas and Saul returned back from Jerusalem to Antioch. That's their host church. And there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers. And we actually see that the church is established and there are five leaders, five elders, those who are seeking to teach God's word. We would call them elders. Maybe they've been pastors of the church. It was a big church in Antioch. Antioch was a Roman colony. There was a Jewish contingent there, but most people would be non-Jews. People from Turkey and Greece and places as far away as Iraq and Afghanistan are all coming together. It's a major trade route. And we see there that these five leaders were there teaching. And whilst they were worshipping, in verse 2, the Holy Spirit speaks. Now, we don't know how that happened. Maybe there was an internal conviction in the hearts and minds of the leaders or the church. Maybe there was a visible voice. But the Holy Spirit spoke to the church and actually set apart Barnabas and Saul. Now, why should we be looking at church life when I'm looking at serving in mission? Because we can clearly see in this passage of five verses that if anyone's looking for a call to serve the Lord in mission, they should already be serving in their local church. If anyone's looking for a call to serve the Lord in mission, they should already be serving in their local church. You see, Barnabas and Saul were already serving there. It says elsewhere in earlier that they had spent a whole year teaching the Christians in Antioch. Several years have passed since then. They had been there for a number of years and the church was growing. It was being a healthy church and they were already serving in the church. And two things that we can learn about serving. If anyone wants to be involved in ministry and serve in the church, there needs to be an internal call and an external call. An internal call is actually where you have a desire to serve. Sadly, there are many Christians who have no desire to serve. They don't want to get involved in local church. They move around. They don't want to be involved or committed. Commitment's a big word for them, and it's fearful. But anyone who wants to serve should have that desire within their hearts. It says in Acts 13, verse 2, that the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for works which I have called them." They've already been spoken. Barnabas and Saul were convicted that they needed to serve the Lord outside of the church. They've already been serving the Lord in Antioch, in the church, for years. And now they are aspired to serve the Lord elsewhere. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 talks about those who want to be in leadership. To be a pastor or an elder or a church planter, you need to aspire to serve in the church. There needs to be that internal call, that desire. And anyone wanting to serve needs to have that desire. It's not a duty. We don't have rotas. You don't put your name down and say, right, okay, that's how I'm going to serve. It's actually, do you want to serve others? And is there a desire in your heart? That's the internal call. Then it should be an external call. And that is the affirmation by those in the church. And we see that in our passage. Verse 3. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. The whole church affirmed the calling that Barnabas and Saul had. First of all, fasting. That means they spent time thinking about this call. They did not rush into it. When someone comes to you and said, I think the God's calling me to do this, your best thing to say, wait, let's think about this. Let's think it through. Don't rush into it. Let's see if the calling is evident by an internal call, but being affirmed by what you're currently doing now. They prayed. Prayer is essential, to pray through your calling, to pray through how you're going to serve the Lord. They laid hands. What does that mean? It means it's a public affirmation. Nothing was done in secret in the early church. You did not turn up to a church members' meeting and find out that everything's been sorted out and you were told what to do. Everything was done in public. And they prayed and they laid their hands on so everyone can see that we as a church are sending out Barnabas and Saul. And then they sent them off. That's a public service. Everybody knew where Barnabas and Saul were going. Everybody knew what they were going to be doing in the church and how they were going to be serving. And Barnabas and Saul were sent off. If you're thinking about serving the Lord, just get on with it and serve. If there's a desire in your heart to serve the Lord, then serve. You don't need permission. You don't need someone to put you on a rota. You don't need someone to say, well, actually, I think you could do that. How about you doing that? Just serve. That's an evident way to show other people that you have a servant heart, that you want to serve other people in the church. Barnabas and Saul had served in Antioch in the church for years. Now they're being called. And then we have serving in mission at home. There's 3 points there for you to think about. 3 quick points. If you're making notes, they're on the screen. And that's verses 4 to 12. Because they're sent off, and it says in verse 4, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit. That's the internal conviction. They sailed to Cyprus. Now Cyprus is the home island of Barnabas. That's where he was born. That's where he grew up. That's where he went to school. And Barnabas is going back to his hometown. He's going to go back and see his family. Go back and see his cousins. His second cousins. He's going to see those he went to school with. And worked with. And as he goes, he's going to bring the gospel and bring Saul, his companion. Because mission always starts at home. Mission is about you sharing the gospel with those in your family. Your neighbours. Those you work with as colleagues. Mission always starts at home. And Barnabas starts with, I want to go back and I want to see my family, but I want to tell them about the gospel. I want to tell them about Jesus Christ. I want to tell them, and they work from one side of the island right across the Ever and end up in Paphos. They went through all 18 miles of that island and spoke to everybody they could speak to, and anybody that Barnabas had a connection with. But there's 3 things I want you to learn from this passage. First of all, some people will be open to God's word. There's a Roman Gentile. He's a proconsul. He's actually in charge of the Roman army in the occupied area of Cyprus. Sergius Paulus. And he was an intelligent man. And he wanted to hear what Barnabas and Saul was saying. He'd heard about what's going on the island. Don't know how long they were there for, maybe months, but he wanted to know about the gospel. Some people will be open to hear the gospel. Do not be surprised when some people want to know more. Be bold and be courageous and share the gospel. But secondly, some people will oppose God's word. We read in verses 6 to 11, a certain man called Bar-Jesus, who had a nickname called Elymas, which actually was a magician. And he opposed the gospel. He did not want this proconsul to hear the gospel. I do not want you to convert that man. I do not want him to become a Christian. If he does, he's the governor of the whole island. He can then set up churches. He can then have the power to establish churches on the island of Cyprus, and I do not want that. There will be people who will oppose the gospel and God's word. You need to be prepared for that. And sometimes it's a challenge. Sometimes we take it like it's they're refusing us, rejecting us. They're not, they're rejecting God's word. So some people will be open to God's word, some people will oppose God's word, and some people will embrace God's word. Have a look at verse 12. Because after this, Paul, or Saul, stands up to the magician, and God blinds the magician for a certain time. It speaks about the spiritual blindness of this man, Elymas, by Jesus. It's very interesting that the proconsul doesn't believe because of the miracle that happened. He believes because of God's word. Verse 12. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what occurred, for he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Some people will embrace God's word. When you're sharing it with your family and your friends, yes, there will be people who are open to listen to you. Some of your family members and friends will oppose God's word. They'll shut their ears. They won't listen. And then some people will embrace God's word because they will believe the message of the gospel. Be encouraged. Serving at home is difficult. Sometimes you think like, I don't want to offend my family, my brother, my sister, my mum, my dad, but you want to share the gospel with them. Be bold and courageous. Look for opportunities. Don't force it down them, but be available and share the gospel. Be a light in this world. Be ready to share the gospel, even if it's to your grandchildren or great-grandchildren, however young they are. Just talk about the Lord in a natural way. And they will see the love of God and love of Jesus in your life. And they may indeed be open to God's word. They may at some point, if God works in their heart and mind, embrace God's word. But serve. Thirdly, serving in mission in new areas. And this is the lengthy narrative that we read about in chapter 13. It covers verses 13 to 50. It's where Barnabas and Saul leave Cyprus, the home of Barnabas, and they go into Europe. And they go into Greece and Turkey in a place called Antioch Pisidia. And here we actually see a turning point in the book of Acts. I don't know if you noticed it in the reading, but verse 9 is a pivotal point in the book of Acts. Because in verse 9 we see, but Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, and said. Up until this point, it's been Peter, 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 Barnabas, 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 Barnabas. They are the ones bringing the gospel out. And this man, Saul, whose Roman name is Paul, is the one who now speaks. And from there on, in Acts 13, verse 9, right through the whole book of Acts, it is Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Silas, Paul and Timothy. Paul is now the principal character. He is the one that God is working through. And he is the one who is bringing the gospel in. He is the one who is planting churches and strengthening churches. And we begin to see that it's Paul and his companions in verse 13 who then set sail. That's the narrative that goes through. Leadership has changed. And it happens in churches where people who have been prominent in establishing churches, God uses other people and raises other people to come up, and suddenly leadership changes. And be prepared for that. That happens in the life of church, but it also happens in mission work. And God is doing this. Paul wasn't exerting himself. God had been preparing for 10 whole years Saul of Tarsus after his conversion to do this mission work. And there's two things I want to bring to you. First of all, Be prepared for discouragement. Whenever you're serving the Lord and speaking to others about Christ, be prepared for discouragement. And secondly, proclaim the word of God. We read in verse 13. Now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John left them and returned to Jerusalem. John left them. Three words that speak volumes. Whenever you're involved in gospel work, whenever you're involved in a local church, some people will come and join us as a church, and then some people will just leave. Maybe a church is not for them. Maybe it's not the right sort of church. Maybe they don't think it's the right thing for them. When they leave, be prepared for discouragement. John Mark left Barnabas and Saul. John Mark was the cousin of Barnabas. He was family. But something happened. We're not told why. We're told in Acts chapter 15 there was a sharp disagreement between Paul and Barnabas over John Mark, because they wanted to take John Mark with them on a second journey, and he said, no, I'm not taking him. He left us. Something happened. Be prepared for discouragements. There will be times when people lose interest in the gospel. There will be people that lose their courage in serving alongside you. There will be people who want to spend more time with their families and their homes. There will be people who are challenged by the fact that they don't have the gifts. They feel faint-hearted and weak, and they drop away. Be prepared for discouragements in church mission and in church mission life. But also, secondly, proclaim the word of God. In verses 14 to 52, Paul stands up and proclaims the word of God. And there are three things I quickly want to point out to you here in verses 14 to 52. First of all, Paul shares the gospel in a way that's suitable to the audience. He uses the Old Testament, and he speaks from the Psalms and the prophets three times and speaks to the Jews. Why? Because they knew their Bibles. So he starts with where they are. Share the gospel in a way that's suitable for the audience. When you're speaking to someone who's not a Christian, who has never read the Bible, what is the point to explain to them what God has done through Moses when he led them out of Egypt and he brought them into the land of Canaan? They won't know who Moses is. They have no idea who Canaan is. It's a land. They won't know about that. So start with where they are. If you've got speaking to someone who doesn't read the Bible, then speak about creation. Speak about God's sovereignty. Speak about how God works in the hearts and minds of people. If people are struggling with their well-being or mental health, speak about that. If people are struggling with a guilt or a burden over what they have done or said that's weighing heavily upon their heart, speak about sin. I mean, share the gospel which is suitable with the audience. Don't think you've got to memorize Bible verses and keep pumping Bible verses out to them. Share the gospel in a suitable way. Secondly, warn people who scoff and refuse to believe. Verses 40 to 41. Beware therefore what's said in the prophets, Paul says. Look, you scoffers, be astounded and perish, for I am doing a work in your days, a work you will not believe, even if someone tells you. Warn people who scoff. There will be people who say, that's rubbish, John. You talk about fairy tales. That has no meaning to me. I need to warn them that this is truth. They need to consider this. And thirdly, be prepared for opposition. Because twice in this passage, we see that Jews opposed the good news of the gospel. First, they were filled with jealousy because all the people were coming to listen to Paul and Barnabas. And that's not fair. We've been with these people for years. And these two guys turn up and suddenly there's lots of people listening to them. They were filled with jealousy. It says they were reviled them. That word revile means to dispute. I'm refusing to listen to you, Paul and Barnabas, no matter what you say. I'm putting my fingers in my ears and I'm not listening to you. I'm disputing with you. They even then go on to speak to the leading people in the city of Antioch Pisidia, leading men, women, with wealth and power and authority. In those days, you had city limits. There was a boundary wall that ran all the way around the city. And within that boundary wall, You had people who were counselors and governors who controlled the city. And the Jews persuaded them that these men are troublemakers. And they were, Barnabas and Paul were expelled. Be prepared for opposition. And that leads to my last point where we're going to land, that there is opposition. Three times in this passage, there is opposition. First opposition was that magician, Elymas, where an individual opposes the gospel. Someone does not want to hear the gospel or hear others to hear it, and they oppose you. Second opposition, religious people, the Jews. Sometimes you get people in church who say, you're wrong telling others about Jesus Christ. You're wrong about telling others about in your family. You're wrong about going out and speaking to others in the village. And they think they're doing the right thing. They're being religious. And the Jews were filled with jealousy. They contradicted the disciples. They disputed. And eventually they got other people in government to force them out and close down the church. Religious people will oppose you. Thirdly, those in government authority will oppose you. It may even mean that people are removed from the public square. Government will bring in laws that are opposed to God's word, and people will be expelled from preaching the gospel. And we see that in countries in Europe, on our own continent, where laws are passed banning people from going to church. You can't carry a Bible. If you are, you're arrested. And we need to consider that, because opposition will come. And when opposition comes, is that a failure? Is that a sign of failure? When we find opposition, when people won't listen to you, when they resist you, when they try to get other people around in the village to say, look, let's close that church down in Edlesborough. We don't want people to hear the gospel. We don't want people to be carrying their Bibles. We don't want people to come to church. Is that a sign of failure that we're doing things wrong? Well, no, it's not. Because God is still able to move. Have a look at verse 51. Paul and Barnabas, they shook off the dust from their feet and went to Iconium. It's only a short sentence. What did they do? They decided to move on. They knew that Antioch Pisidia was now closed for the gospel. Many people had come to faith in Christ. The church had been planted in that city, but they then moved on. There may be a times when you're speaking to someone in your family or friends who resist the gospel. They won't listen to you. They ridicule you, and you need to move on. You continue to pray for them. Please do. God is a God of grace who can work in the hearts and minds of people. But you need to move on. There might be other people you need to share the gospel with. People who will be open to God's word. People who may embrace the gospel. Paul and Barnabas moved on. They went to Iconium. It wasn't that they had a schedule. It wasn't the fact that they had, right, okay, it's the 25th of the month, we need to move on now. They stayed a long time in Antioch Pisidia, but when the door of opportunity was closed and they could no longer speak about the gospel in the public square, they moved on. We too need to move on. But we also need to consider that when you move on, God is still at work in the hearts and minds of people. Look at verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. They are the ones who came to faith in Antioch, Pisidia. They're the ones in the church. Paul and Barnabas were expelled. You think they'll be sad, morose. We've lost the leaders. We've lost the church planters. That our pastor has just been expelled. He can no longer stay in the city. What did the disciples do? They were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. See, God was still at work in planting his church. Whenever the gospel is planted and churches are formed, disciples are formed, God is at work. His Spirit is at work. And joy was in the hearts of Gentiles. You find that, actually, in verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, for as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. and the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the district, the whole region. You see, as many as were appointed, God had a work in Antioch Pisidia, and he had men, women and children who was bringing to faith in Christ. Never think that when people oppose you, who won't listen to the gospel, that God is not still at work. He is. It's not a sign of failure. Be faithful to God in sharing the gospel with your colleagues at work, your boss, those people you meet in the supermarket, those people you see in the village as you walk down through the village. Share the gospel. Why? Because God is still at work. And those who are appointed, God will bring to faith in Christ. You don't know who they are, but share the gospel. Why? Because there will be those who will be filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. There will be people years to come now who will look upon your faithfulness when you shared a word, when you shared the gospel with them. They'll look back and say, "Look, you know, I am filled with joy because she shared the gospel with me. My neighbour spoke to me about the gospel. That man spoke to me in the street in the village. That lady gave me a gospel of John. That person there spoke to me at work and helped me through a difficult time and shared the love of Jesus. Now I believe." I look back and say, thank God for that person who stepped in, who was willing to serve in mission. Are you going to be that person? That's the challenge. I'm challenging myself. Are you going to be the person who steps out in faith and shares the gospel with those you work with, those in your family, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren? Are you willing to share the love of Christ with them and share the gospel? Because until Christ comes again, we face a task that's unfinished. You will be my witnesses to the end of the earth. And that's why we pray for mission. That's why we support Grace Baptist Mission. That's why we support missionaries that go out. That's why we support Bible translation. That's why we as a church support mission here in the village of Edlesborough. Are you willing to go out and tell others about Jesus Christ? Maybe you don't have the opportunity, but pray for them. Pray for people who don't know yet the Lord. Pray for others who are going out and sharing the gospel. That we would see disciples filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Amen.